Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one goes to the Father except by me. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. We come together this afternoon to share a grief, to share our sense of loss, to show our love, and to remember with celebration and thanksgiving the life of William Arthur Thomas. Bill lived a very content and happy life, so shock, disbelief, and immense sadness are the only words we can use to describe what many of you have felt over the past weeks since we learned of Bill's sudden death on the 1st of August. Yet here we are on Thursday the 14th of August, here in Fairlie Parish Church, to find comfort and strength in the midst of grief. As your minister, I know that I can't speak words that will miraculously take away the grief and sorrow and put your lives back to the way they should be. But what I can do is tell you about something I know is important for all of us to hear today. I want to speak for a moment about God's grace and how we will know it today. Grace is the one word which will get you through the days, weeks, months, and years ahead. Today we need to hear and realize that in the midst of our shock and pain, Jesus Christ is our Savior. Through hearing the Word of God, we can know the love and compassion and healing that God wants to bring us all today. At church during the sacrament of baptism, we recall the words that Jesus came into the world so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And that promise is true for Bill. God loved Bill so much that he gave his one and only son to take upon himself the pain and death of the cross, so that Bill could live as a child of God and have eternal life. That's what grace is all about. Undeserved mercy, favour and forgiveness from God. So this afternoon, we are here to say goodbye to a much-loved husband, dad, granddad, and friend. We're here to express our sorrow that Bill's life on this earth has ended, to remember all that he has done while here with us, to remind ourselves of all that he has meant to us and still means to God. But we do so in the knowledge that this life is not the end, because through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, eternal life is open to all who believe in him. So as we come before our Lord in prayer, you are invited to bring your pain and your shock and your sadness. And as we offer this time to God in worship, receive from him his comfort, his peace, and his grace. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, be with us as we gather to celebrate and give you thanks for the life of Bill. We come bringing our thoughts, our memories, and our feelings about Bill, and we offer them to you. We remember the good times with thanksgiving. We remember the times when things were perhaps not so good, and these we also offer to you. We give you thanks that for Bill the frailties of this life are now over, and that he is safe in your care. At this time when our loss is new and our feelings are raw, surround us with your love and strength. May we continue our lives with courage and hope for the future. For this we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We read in the book of Psalms, God is our shelter and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not be afraid, even if the earth is shaken and mountains fall into the ocean's depths, even if the seas roar and rage and the hills are shaken by the violence. He says, know that I am God, supreme among the nations, supreme over the world. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Let us turn in praise of our Lord and acknowledge that in the God of Jacob we find our refuge. I invite you to turn to your order of service, and inside on the left-hand page you'll find the words to our first hymn, The Lord's My Shepherd. Please be seated. Let us come once more before our Lord in prayer, the one in whose dwelling place we long to be. Risen Lord of life, you are our help in every time of trouble. You made us and you love us. Your love is our security and our hope. Through your loving power, you have not made us for darkness and death, but for life with you forever. Without you, we have nothing to hope for. With you, we have nothing to fear. Speak to us now your words of eternal life. Lift us from anxiety and guilt to the light and peace of your presence, and set the glory of your love before us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, we find our true selves complete and whole only within your love. And because in love you have prepared for us a destiny more wonderful than we can imagine, we faithfully entrust Bill and ourselves into your loving hands. Loving God, in our pain we remember with sorrow how we have failed one another and grieved your heart. In your kindness, forgive our past sins, set us free from guilt, and make us strong to live our lives in love. Send your Holy Spirit among us that we may hear your promises and know them to be true, and so receive the comfort and peace they bring. And this we pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. I've chosen just two short passages for our service this afternoon. The first one is from the Old Testament, from the prophet Isaiah. We read, "The sovereign Lord will destroy death forever. He will wipe away the tears from everyone's eyes and take away the disgrace his people have suffered through the world. The Lord himself has spoken. When it happens, everyone will say, 'He is our God. We have put our trust in him and he has rescued us.' He is the Lord. We have put our trust in him and now we are happy and joyful because he has saved us." Then our second passage comes from the New Testament. We read, "Our brothers and sisters, we want you to know the truth about those who have died, so that you will not be sad as are those who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will take back with Jesus those who have died believing in him. So then, encourage one another with these words. Amen." In the Bible, Jesus tells us, "Do not be worried and upset. Believe in God and believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know the way that leads to the place where I am going." But Thomas, one of Jesus' followers, said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way to get there?" Jesus answered him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one goes to the Father except by me. Peace is what I leave with you. It is my own peace that I give you. I do not give it as the world does. Do not be worried and upset. Do not be afraid." I would take nothing away from the grief that is felt here today. I won't say everything is all right, because it's not. You all hurt, and we know that you will hurt for a long time. because your grief is a dark valley that we all go through before you can ever begin to feel right again. However, it was God that made us. And God made us so that we can feel the grief. He made us that we should have a relationship with Him and a relationship with one another. And when a relationship is over, whatever that relationship, we feel the pain of loss. We pay the price of relationships. And courageously we go on with relationships because they are worth it. So I say to you today in this church, grieve. Grieve long and grieve deeply. Don't run from your grief. Don't try to deny it. Grieve for Bill and grieve honestly. Grieve lovingly. Grieve patiently. There's no way back to wholeness except by facing what life brings. But I would also like to say a word of comfort. We don't need to fear death or run from it. In the Bible, as we heard, St. Paul proclaims that there is a promise in death. And this is the hope that we have today. Death is a doorway to the promised land, a rest from our labours, a reunion time with those we have loved. But more than that, however, it is the time when we will see our Lord face to face. Scripture tells us that our bodies are perishable. Truly, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. But it goes on to tell us that if we trust in Christ, we will be raised in Christ. So why should we doubt this? We've been changing all of our lives. I'm sure we can all recognize the adult in us from the baby pictures. And who would imagine from a small acorn would grow a great oak? Or who would believe that an egg with its hard outer shell could produce a soft yellow chick? If a caterpillar is raised from its tomb in the cocoon to a beautiful butterfly, can't we expect the same? But the greatest example we have is the fact that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. If Christ lives, which he does, even in death, we can also live. And that's the promise we have in Jesus Christ. Bill was such a huge part of your lives that life will not be the same again. But that is exactly how it should be. In his love, God will give you the strength to continue living your lives here on earth. He will look after you and give you the strength to look after one another. Amen. Bill Thomas was born in Plymouth on the 10th of October in 1948. He was the older son of Anne and Tommy, his younger brother Peter predeceasing him. Bill's dad being in the army, Bill initially grew up in Trieste in Italy. And at the time of schooling, he eventually boarded at King's School in Rochester, where he received the accolade of being appointed head boy. Or as the family told me, his friends referred to him as Kaiser Bill. In 1967, Bill went to study chemistry, physics and maths at Glasgow University. Graduating as a pure chemist in 1971, Bill began his whole life career with Pfizer Pharmaceuticals at Sandwich in Kent. The chemistry department at Glasgow University separates students alphabetically. And because of this, Bill met fellow student Elizabeth Walker from Fairlie, who was also studying chemistry. They immediately gelled and got on so well that they soon fell in love. And completing a wonderful graduation year, on the 31st of December 1971, Bill and Elizabeth were married in St. Paul's Church, Fairlie, this very church. And the timing was such that Bill and Elizabeth gave Bill's English family a wonderful Scottish New Year to enjoy. Bill was now living in accommodation in Broadstairs and Elizabeth was in accommodation in Sittingbourne. And after a honeymoon to Arisaig, which was a bit disastrous, as Elizabeth took on well, Bill and Elizabeth returned early and set up home at Bill's flat in Broadstairs. However, they soon bought a lovely little house in Canterbury before moving to Sandwich, being closer to Bill's work as Elizabeth continued to teach in Margate. After a few years of developing their careers, in 1979, daughter Alex was born. Bill and Elizabeth realised they needed a bigger house, which became the family home, and where a few years later, Sarah was born to complete their happy family. Life was good. Bill's career steadily developed and he progressed to Director of Material Management, which allowed Bill to help others develop their own careers. And in 2004, after 33 years of dedicated service, Bill retired. Initially, Elizabeth continued to work, which gave Bill time to enjoy his retirement, time which he spent learning to cook and appreciate the kitchen, which eventually resulted in not just good cooking, but a kitchen filled with every cooking utensil and cookery book available as Bill developed his repertoire of skills. Throughout their life, Bill and Elizabeth had always travelled to Fairlie to see family. And when the girls went to study in Glasgow, they had more reasons to visit. So it was inevitable that after a while, they should sell their big house in Sandwich and buy a smaller one, together with a second home here in Fairlie. And between their two homes, Bill and Elizabeth enjoyed many happy times, especially enjoying a variety of Christmas and New Year experiences with the girls. For all that Bill did in his life, be it at work or at social events in Sandwich or Fairlie, he was never a man to push himself forward. He was quite a quiet person, reserved even. He was more of a watcher than an upfront participant. Bill was very content with his all and enjoyed being in the background, helping out, being free labour. Whether here at Messy Church, or family events, or being part of the village frogs, or supporting the Friends of the Firth of Clyde, or going off in an archaeological dig, where Bill would just be content washing the earthenware which had been uncovered. A very generous man, Bill was also very modest. And he enjoyed nothing better than taking himself off with one or more of his cameras to photograph the scenery around him. Then he would spend hours on his computer, ensuring that his pictures were edited as well as he wanted them, before he would sit down and enjoy his favourite television programme, time watch. The only place in life where Bill was upfront and active was when his grandchildren were around. Bill was very much an active and involved granddad. Bill had many positive attributes, but he wasn't a saint, because as Elizabeth and Alex and Sarah will tell you, Bill was a terrible backseat driver, and he would make his views known as often as he felt necessary. Since their early years together, Bill and Elizabeth have enjoyed many good holidays, be it in the caravan when the girls were young, or their tours of Scotland, or their many family trips to Greece, especially the islands, or their trip to New Zealand. Holidays, however, were not times of extravagance, as was Bill's way. Everything should be comfortable, but the priority was about good experiences. Privacy and family time were paramount. Over the last few years, Bill's health had been a bit problematic, often peaking at holiday time. However, just recently, Bill and Elizabeth returned from a wonderful, problem-free 5-week holiday, during which time all the children and grandchildren at some time managed to join them. And for this, everyone is so thankful. Because suddenly, as a result of an accident on the 1st of August, Bill was called to the Lord's nearer presence. And may Almighty God now grant him eternal rest. Amen. We come once more before our Lord in prayer, the only one who can grant eternal rest. I'm going to invite you now to get your order of service out. And inside, just opposite that first hymn, we've got the words of the Lord's Prayer. And in speaking with Elizabeth and Alex and Sarah, we agreed that we would try to be as inclusive as possible today. So we're going to pray together at a time in a moment, the words of the Lord's Prayer. In the Church of Scotland, we are debts and debtors. In the Church of England, or in the Episcopal Church, we are trespassers, and in another church, we are sinners. Today, I invite you to join with me, and we'll pray these words together as Bill's extended family, and we will embrace the Church of England, where we are trespassers. But let us come before our Lord in prayer. God of all grace, we thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to break the power of death and bring life and immortality to light through the gospel. He shared our life, took upon himself our death, and opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Look not on us, but look on us as found in him, and bring us safely through the judgment to the joy and peace of your presence. Loving God, we thank you for the life we have shared with Bill. We remember all the good things he shared with us, which are now part of our history and our very being. We thank you for his gifts and skills, and the way that they were used to benefit his family and our community. We thank you that our lives were blessed by Bill. May we continue to live our lives inspired by our memories of him. Lord, Bill has been significant in the lives of all those gathered here before you. So now, in prayerful silence, we each make our own thanksgiving to you for all that Bill has meant to us. And now, Lord, we thank you that for Bill all pain and suffering are ended, and that death itself is conquered. Help us to release him into your care and keeping, in the confidence that all life finds its fulfillment with you in the joy of your everlasting kingdom. We commend to you those who will miss Bill most in the days to come because they loved him best, especially his devoted wife, Elizabeth, his dearly loved children, Alex and Ross and Sarah and Ali, and his adored grandchildren, Ruri and Elspeth and Grace and Alexander, together with all his close friends and members of his family. God of compassion, surround all who mourn today with your love and peace. Help us all in the days ahead and enable us to trust in your goodness and mercy. Awaken in us the spirit of mercy that as we feel the pain of others, we may share with them the comfort we receive from you. Bring us, Lord, at the last with all your people into the kingdom of your glory, where death itself is ended and every tear is wiped from every eye. To you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all glory, both now and for all eternity. Lord, be with us as we gather together as Bill's extended family in this place and pray the words that Jesus, your Son, has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Don't grieve for me, for now I'm free. I'm following the path God laid for me. I took his hand when I heard his call. I turned my back and left it all. I could not stay another day to laugh, to love, to work, to play. Tasks left undone must stay that way. I found that peace at the end of the day. If my parting has left a void, then fill it with remembered joy. A friendship shared, a laugh, a kiss. Ah yes, these things too I will miss. Be not burdened with times of sorrow. I wish you the sunshine of tomorrow. My life's been full. I've savoured much. Good friends, good times, a loved one's touch. Perhaps my time seemed all too brief. Don't lengthen it now with undue grief. Lift up your heart and share with me. God wanted me now. He set me free. On behalf of Elizabeth and Alex and Sarah and all of the family, I'd like to thank you all for coming to Fairleigh Parish Church this afternoon, where we have met in God's presence to give God thanks for Bill's life here with us. I know that your presence here will give Elizabeth and the family great comfort in the times ahead. As you leave the church this afternoon, there is the opportunity to make a donation which will go to Air Ambulance Charities. And Elizabeth and the family would like to extend an invitation to everyone to join with them at the Village Inn after our short service at the crematorium. The invitation is also given to you that if you are unable or you do not wish to travel to the crematorium, that is perfectly fine. Please just go to the Village Inn and the family will join you there. There is also a condolence book which you may have signed in the way in. And if not, as you go out, it's on your left-hand side. There's a table there. And I invite you, if you're able, just to sign it. Would we prepare ourselves to go from here, to travel to Garnock Valley Crematorium for a short service of committal? And we do so in preparation by singing our final hymn of praise. The words are in the centre of the order of service on the right-hand page. Abide with me. If you're able, let's stand to praise. Bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be ever gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift the light of his presence upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Please be seated.